Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to our audio broadcast of the sermon for this week. I'm Pastor Tim Sir. If you're listening to this and you don't know me or you haven't attended this, the churches that I pastor, but good morning. So good to be with you, church members. Boy, I miss you. I'm sure we all miss each other, miss not being in this sanctuary, worshiping together and singing together. And just a suggestion, if you're online listening to this and you're able to, you can pull up a song. Some of the families I know are doing this. Pull up a song that you like, something to introduce worship. I might recommend for this morning, you could even put this on pause and go to YouTube and play Only a Holy God by City Alight. Only a Holy God by City Alight. And that might be just a good song to get our minds ready for hearing God's word. So if you want to go ahead and do that, go ahead. And if not, let's just proceed by turning in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. We're going to look for some more pearls from Peter. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is, you know, as we are all self-isolating right now, if you're listening to this in the future, you're going to be looking back at a time in 2020, March 29th, when we were going through the corona pandemic throughout the world and the pandemonium that is causing for everyone. And a question that I think we all may be asking ourselves is, what should I be doing? You know, during all of this, my regular schedule may have changed quite a bit. Should I be just watching more TV? Should I be spending more time online? I'm watching a lot of news. I'm listening to updates. Is depending on how this has affected your life, is this a time where God wants me to be busy doing some things that I've been ignoring because I haven't been able to do it in the regular flow of things? And none of that is bad or wrong. But we also need to be asking ourselves, what does God want me to do? What does he want me to be doing to accomplish his work during this time? And so today, and I've entitled this sermon, Seeking Employment Amid Pandemonium. Okay, and we're going to be looking at 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11 for some more pearls from Peter. And the object of this for all of us, whenever we grow in our faith, whenever we go to God's word, we want to be looking for those pearls of wisdom that we can string onto this necklace that God is forming around us for people to look at and see the beauty of God as we adorn the gospel with our lives, as we adorn ourselves with the likeness of Christ. So that's what we're looking for. So will you bow your heads with me? Let's just say a word of prayer before we begin. Lord, as we turn to your word, we admit that we can do nothing apart from you. I admit as a preacher, I can do nothing apart from your Spirit's work and your grace. And Father, I pray that you would give me the gift of preaching and teaching as we're going to study today, that if I speak, let it be the word of God speaking through me. And for every person listening, Father, you've gifted each one. You give them the grace to hear the truth. Work in each one of us by your Holy Spirit so you can accomplish what you have designed for this time together. So as we open your word, we humbly acknowledge that you are the truth and you will give us the word, the spiritual food that we need today. Please do that among us and in us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Forgive me, I feel like a leper here, but I will cough as soon as I start preaching and raising my voice and stuff, this nagging allergy-related cough that I've had for many, many, many years. You're going to hear it, so forgive me. But turning to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, as by the strength or the power which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So pay close attention to that passage as we unpack it now together. Above all, the word is proto-priority, pro-panton, before everything else. So this is what the Apostle Peter is telling Christians as he's preparing them for persecution. Remember, persecution is breaking out from Rome, where Peter is at the time, and it's spreading throughout the civilized world. It was pandemic, similar to the virus that we are facing today. I mean, this persecution, this hatred for Christians, this animosity to the gospel of Christ was spreading out through the Roman army across the Roman empire at the time. So Peter's writing to all these Christians. 60% of them are probably household slaves. All the poor people to slaves. Many, many people have converted to Christianity. And Peter is writing these things to give them pearls to adorn themselves with, so that when the persecution breaks out and whatever trials they may be facing, people will look at them and they will see Christ. And the same dynamics are true for us today. As this pandemic sweeps the world, we want to find these pearls. So Peter's word, above all, applies to us today. Before anything else, what does he tell us to do? He says in verse 8, to keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. William Barclay wrote some helpful things about this word, fervent. To keep fervent. What it means is to have something that is constant or consistent, and it's outstretching. That's the main meaning of the word. Stretching out like a runner who's stretching out for the finish line. And he quotes Cranfield, reminding us that this is like a horse at full gallop. It's talking about the taut muscle of a strenuous and a strained effort, like in an athlete. So this is a fundamental Christian truth. Christian love, and this is Barclay, is not easy, sentimental reaction. It demands everything that we have, every bit of mental and spiritual nerve and muscle and sinew. Now listen, Peter is talking about the way we are supposed to love each other. It means loving the unlovely and the unlovable. It means loving in spite of insult and injury. It means loving when love is not returned, but is spurned. Someone else translate this as vehement. Vehemently love one another. So the Christian love is the love which never fails. It's the love into which every atom of our strength is directed. So just as we look at point one, which I have as keep love in mind. Keep love in mind. And I want to ask you, just think about how you live your life. Think about how you've been thinking about the world lately, how you've been thinking about other people lately. Do you always have love in your mind? Do you have love above all as something that you're fervently trying to exercise toward all the other people in your life? Keep love in mind. So, in the short term, listen, he goes on to say at the end of verse 8, love covers a multitude of sins. See, love forgives. Love forbears. Love has mercy on the other person. Love extends grace. Love, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know this, love is patient. So just think about how you've been acting toward maybe your family members as you're all quarantined together, driving each other crazy. Listen, love, that's the place that God, wherever he has you, is the place where God wants to teach you how to do the things he tells you to do. So don't just, I got to get out of here. Maybe you do need a break. But when you're in it, ask God to help you do what he asks you to do. That's the assignment he has for you. That's your practice. That is the place he wants to train you. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's what it means to cover a multitude of sins. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It rejoices with the truth. But listen to this. It bears all things. It believes all things. It thinks the best of the other person. It assumes the best in them. Isn't that what you want done toward you? That's how you want to be loved. It hopes all things. It endures all things. So keep love in mind. Now, Peter assumes we understand we are to love God vertically, love God with all that we are. Now, assuming that horizontally, and that's what Peter is dealing with today. Love one another above everything else. Keep fervent in your love for one another. Work at it. Give it your all, because love will then cover a multitude of sins. And in the short term, in the situation we're in today, as the future unfolds, as we talked last week, you know, be humble, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you, be sober, resist the devil, be firm in your faith, and be prepared to keep love in mind as you try to discern what God wants you to do now. Boy, with more and more businesses closing as we speak, more and more institutions closing down, as we are sheltering ourselves and socially distancing ourselves from others, question, should we be closing down? Well, point number two I have is be open for service. Look at verses 9 and 10. Be open for service. Peter writes, be hospitable to one another. That's opening yourself up to other people. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, without grumbling, without murmuring. You know, it's one thing to be hospitable to people, but do you find yourself right now feeling inconvenienced by that other person? Seeing them as an intrusion into your life, an interruption into your busy agenda, perhaps? Well, Peter says, now be hospitable to one another, but do it without complaint. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, employ it in, and here's what I'm after, serving one another as good stewards in the manifold grace of God. I'll come back to that in just a little bit, but be open for service. Okay? Listen, those people that God has put in your life, or those needs that God has made obvious to us, something that we're thinking maybe we ought to serve in this way, we ought to meet that need, that person is not an intrusion, as I've said. That person is not an interruption. That person is there exactly because God wants them to be, in order to show us what he wants us to do. In fact, they are not they. They are we. It's not us versus them. It's just us. Okay? And certainly, Peter is talking primarily about Christians dealing with Christians. But as we read in the rest of Scripture, in the teachings of Jesus and his apostles, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And a neighbor is defined as anyone that we make ourselves a neighbor to. And so in verse 18, Peter says, love one another. He says, love unto one another. And literally in verse 8, he says, unto yourselves. In verse 9, he says, unto one another. In verse 10, he says, unto each other. All of them are translated one another. But what I want you to understand right now is that he's going to show us, and the possibilities are endless. He's going to show us how he wants us to minister right now in the midst of this pandemic crisis. And if you'll hold on to that thought, and just for now, remember to keep love in mind all the time, and to be open for service. Just keep that in mind as we continue on into digging into verse 10 just a little more deeply. You know, unemployment is a big discussion right now. Unemployment is soaring. There's an economic relief recovery package that's close to being signed or voted on right now as I speak. Now, a little unemployment is normal. The statistics say and the experts say that there's a natural rate of unemployment that is somewhere between 3.5 and 4.5%. Okay? Now, in a healthy economy, that's what it's going to be like. But everyone else, everyone who can be employed, is employed. Now, too much unemployment, of course, is bad. Too much unemployment is unproductive. It's not profitable. Point number three that we're going to find in verse 10 and 11 is seek employment. Christians, we need to be seeking employment from God. So, number one, keep love in mind. Number two, you yourself, your heart, be open for service. And number three, seek employment from God. Look at verse 10. As each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then in verse 11, he gives some specifics. Whoever speaks, like I'm doing right now, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, as by the strength or the power which God supplies. Now let's pick that apart. Each one. Look at the beginning of verse 10. Each one. Each and every child of God. Each and every member of Christ's body, bar none, without exception. Every single man, woman, and child. If you're listening to this and you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, you've been reconciled to God because you believe the gospel, Jesus died on the cross for you, your sins have been forgiven, you've been bought by Jesus' blood. If you're a Christian right now, he's talking about you. Okay, so look at the people around you. If you're sitting with your family or you're listening to this, if there are others around you, look at them and say, this verse is talking about you. Okay, each one. So kids, doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, if you're old enough to listen to this and be understanding what I'm saying, this is talking about you. You elderly person may be sitting alone in your home. This is talking about you. Every one of us, maybe you're in the middle of life and you're busy, busy, busy. And maybe this situation that we're in has even created more busyness for you. This is still talking about you. If you're a Christian, each one, as each one, has received a gift. Now that's in the aorist tense, which means it has already happened. That's how it's written here. If each one of you has received a gift, okay, you've already got it. More about that in a little bit. And the word gift is charisma. We talk about charisma. Charis is the word for grace. Each one of us has received a manifestation of God's grace. God has given His grace to you. Now, you might be saying, you know, people have said to me that I don't have any charisma. You know what? That's not true. Now, you may not be an exciting, dynamic speaker, or maybe your personality seems a little bit just kind of drab or normal, or but you do have charisma. You have been given a gift. God has gifted you. Now listen, and God wants to use you. He has equipped you. He wants to hire you. He wants to put you to work. But the verse says, as each one has received a charisma, a gift from God, it's our responsibility to put it to work, employ it. Now, how do I do that? How do I put this gift of God that He has given to me, how do I employ it? Well, He tells us, employ it in serving one another. Stop using it all up on yourself. Stop using all the God's grace that He has given to you in self-service. Stop leaving some of it dormant. Stop allowing it to just kind of sit there and dissipate. You know, I think with our cell phones or our computers, if we or our devices that have batteries in them, if you don't plug them in, and even if you don't use it, eventually the energy in there is going to slowly just dissipate and disappear. And sometimes we probably are doing that as Christians. We miss opportunities. We aren't looking for them. We aren't looking for how we're supposed to put this grace of God to work in our lives. So employ it in serving one another. Put it into action. Unto, toward that other person. The end of verse 10. As a good steward of the manifold grace of God. As a good, kalos, remember? As a good, beautiful, this is a pearl. As a good household manager of the many-colored, variegated, diversified grace of God. You know, the grace of God, as we have spoken many times, is incomprehensibly diverse. He's got all the grace in the universe, infinite amount of grace, multicolored, multifaceted, prepared, it's perfect for every single need that any human being would ever have. And He has given you some of that grace in exactly the way He wants to give it to you, so that you will be equipped to use it to serve other people. As I'm looking around the world right now, as I'm listening to all kinds of news conferences and news briefings by the president and his staff, by the governor and her staff, by local authorities, I have been very impressed. Now, you might disagree with me about this. You might be seeing other things in the current situation. However, as I'm looking around, I'm very thankful for and I'm amazed by the way that all of the various agencies and organizations and commissions in all the different fields, the medical field, the economic field, the business world, all of them working together, amazingly, I think. All of them oftentimes working night and day to try to respond to the need of the moment. They're all working together, and they're each doing their own unique jobs. Now, similarly, as Christians, we are, each one of us, exactly gifted to do only what we are supposed to do. And we've talked about this before, so I know some of you may think you're not gifted. Or you may wonder what your gift is. And if you look at this, you would have to admit, and you've been reminded today, that you do have the grace of God. He has given you that gift. And He wants you to be a good steward of that. He wants you to put it to work, employ it in serving other people as a good household manager of this incomprehensibly infinite grace of God that he has entrusted to you. And he wants you to use it. He's given you talents. He doesn't want you to bury that talent. He wants you to use it. You are the light of the world. He doesn't want you to put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, so it gives light to all who are in the house. So you may be, I hope, seeing, yeah, I do have a gift. He has given it to me, but I'm so ordinary. I'm so untalented. Listen, friend, please listen to this. You are not ungifted. You are not unnecessary. You are not less important. You are not non-vital. And I'm not saying this to just build you up, okay? I'm saying this because it is true. If you are a child, and you ought to feel good about that. You are a child of God. You are therefore invaluable. You are essential. And you ought to be confident in that. And you ought to be intentional and purposeful as you try to discern how God wants to employ that grace that he has given you and entrusted to you. You are not expendable. You are part of the body of Christ, and every part of the body is vital for its proper functioning. We're taught that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and other places in the New Testament. You know, I believe, even though medically today, and sometimes decisions have to be made to remove the tonsils, it's better for the whole organism to remove the appendix, remove the gallbladder, okay? But listen, I used to, years ago, think evolution was probably what really happened, and these things were just expendable organs now. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that in a perfectly healthy body, every single member of it would be employed. Even if we don't see it, or we don't understand it, or medical science hasn't figured it out yet, every part of the body, as God made us perfectly, is essential and valuable and must be employed for the health of the body and the proper working of it. And the same thing is true with you. Okay? And again, that ought to excite you. I am so excited about the time period that we are in. I am so excited about the opportunities that we have and are going to have in the midst of the world being shaken up by this pandemic. Okay? So, in a period of epidemic, or just in a normal circumstance, when things, if they ever do, get back to normal, and I believe they will, whether that's good or bad, I'm not sure. But in normal church life, when things go back to where you've got some of the distractions that have been eliminated for the time being, when they're all back in play, we ought all to be keeping love in mind, number one. Number two, be open for service. Number three, seeking employment from God. I would invite you to look online and look for an article by Moses Lee, L-E-E, Moses Lee. And it's called What the Early Church Can Teach Us About the Coronavirus. What the Early Church Can Teach Us About the Coronavirus. And I'll just quote a little bit of it here, but I think you'd enjoy reading the whole article. It's not very long. The early church was no stranger to plagues, epidemics, mass hysteria. In fact, according to both Christian and non-Christian accounts, one of the main catalysts for the church's explosive growth in its early years was how Christians navigated disease, suffering, and death. The church's posture made such a strong impression on Roman society that even pagan Roman emperors complained to their pagan priests about their own declining numbers, and they were telling them to step up their game, start acting like the Christians. In AD 249, so this is a couple hundred years after Peter's writing of this letter, But after that, Western civilization was devastated by one of the deadliest pandemics of history. In the city of Rome, they lost an estimated 5,000 people a day. Okay? Now, the difference between Christians and non-Christians as they responded to this plague, we're told by the Bishop Dionysius of Alexandria that the following. He said that the Christians responded with such love and compassion and mercy toward other people that it was remarkable. And then a century later, the Emperor Julian wanted to curb the growth of Christianity after the plague. And so he led a campaign to establish pagan charities that mirrored the work of Christians. Okay, so in 362, he wrote a letter complaining about this. And he was blaming the recent growth of Christianity on their, quote, benevolence to strangers, their care for the graves of the dead, and the pretended holiness of their lives. He also wrote, "It is a disgrace that these impious Galileans, Christians, support not only their own poor, but ours as well." Let's see. So he concludes his article like this. "Other people wouldn't think of this time," speaking of today, or I'm sorry, this is Dionysius saying this way back then. "Other people would not think this a time for festival," Dionysius said of the epidemic of his day. "But far from being a time of distress," listen, Christians, today, "far from being a time of distress, it is a time of unimaginable joy." Now, he wasn't celebrating death or suffering. He was just rejoicing, listen, in the opportunity that such circumstances present for testing our faith, to go out of our way to love and serve our neighbors, spreading gospel hope in both word and deed in times of great fear. Boy, doesn't that sound like today? So keep love in mind. Be open for service. Seek employment from God. And then finally, why? What is the ultimate purpose of all of this? I've been bumping into people on the street, and they have wanted to talk. We keep our distance. We don't shake hands. But they want to talk. And they want to talk about the things of the Lord. It's amazing how this is opening up those lines of discussion. And many of them have questions about what is the ultimate purpose of all of this. Look at the end of verse 11. So that in all things, this is true of Peter's day, this is true in the first century, this is true in the second century, the third century, it's true in our century. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So point number 4 is give God the glory. Isn't that what Peter has been saying to those first century Christians who were anticipating or possibly already experiencing persecution for their faith? He said, proclaim, you are God's chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are his possession, in order that you might proclaim his excellencies. Proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why he called those Christians. That's why he has called us. And so as we adorn our necklaces with more pearls from Peter, keep love in mind, be open for service, seek employment from God, and then give God the glory. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men. As you go, friends, as we go out, brothers and sisters, as we watch for, and this is going to be a changing thing in the days to come, But as we watch for and we pray about, Lord, how do you want to use me? How do you want to employ me? With the grace that you are giving to me, with the strength that you will supply. If I speak, let me speak as if it were the words of God coming through me. If I serve people, do it by the strength or the power that God will supply me. He will give me what I need to have to be able to do this. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and they'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 10:31b, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. We give God glory when people look at our lives and they see that God lives in us. When they see us acting as a member of the body of Christ on earth, they see Jesus Christ to whom belongs the glory. God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. You see that at the end of verse 11? And so, as you go now, friend, and again, I miss you. I look forward to the day we can be together, but this is no surprise to God. He had this planned. This is part of his plan, that you're sitting there, you're driving, and you're listening to this, and you're looking around yourself, and you're seeing all kinds of opportunities right in your own homes. If you're able to go to work at the places of work, at the gas station, if you're still able to go there, in the grocery store, all kinds of opportunity. And there are going to be more needs that will become evident to us. And I don't even know what they are. And I could give you a list of possibilities, but just be praying about it. Keep love in mind. Be open for service. Seek employment from God. And then in all of it, by what you say, by what you do, you know, give glory to God. And I don't know how to do that. Sometimes we want to be anonymous. Other times we want to let them know we're doing this because Jesus is in us and Jesus is working through us. So sometimes we use words. Sometimes we don't. We have to discern that, but we have to be walking closely with the Lord in order to do that. So I hope you're in the Word every day. I hope this current environment is creating more opportunities for you to get caught up on your Bible reading. Be slow down in your devotional time. Be spending lots of time with Jesus, letting him in the dining room so he can show you this is an opportunity. And you can't do everything. You can't do it all. You're not supposed to. You're only supposed to do what you're supposed to do. And that takes discernment to tell the difference between the bad and the good and the excellent. We're supposed to approve the things that are excellent. Okay? And remember in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, he talked about the love for one another, other Christians. Oh, and then he always tagged on, and for all men. So be looking at your family first, then look at your church family next, and then look at your neighborhood. Look at businesses. Maybe we, you know, think of creative ways that you can support businesses that are going to be really struggling in the weeks and months and maybe years to come. How can we employ the grace that God has given to us in order to serve others and give glory to God? And Lord, as I'm concluding now, that is our prayer. Lord, bless each one of us with the wisdom and the discernment to see what you are doing and what you want us to do so that we might be good stewards of this manifold grace that you give to us. Help us always to keep love in mind, loving you and loving others. That's what it's all about. That sums it all up. It's all about love, Lord. Help us remember that. Help us to open up our hearts and our lives for service to others. Lord, we want to be available to you for your use. We want to seek employment from you. And we want you to get all the glory, Father. So remind us of these things. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the time that we could be together via technology. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. You are great. You are amazing. We praise you. We give you all the glory. And we just want to be useful for your service. And we pray this with thanksgiving in the name of our Lord Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of that wonderful song, He is Lord, here as we close this. But I would encourage you to consider getting online. Look, type in Grace Alone, Maranatha. And that would be a good song to play right now for you to meditate on as you let the Word of God percolate in your life and soak in your life. But I miss you. Looking forward to seeing you again. In the meantime, you are in my prayers. And may God bless you and keep you healthy and safe. And may He bless you richly as you follow after Jesus closely. Bye-bye for now. Let Jesus